You are Locked On Big Ten, your daily podcast on the Big Ten Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Locked On Big Ten Podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Stevens. It is Wednesday, January 27th. There are five more days in the month of January. We are in the final week of the month, which means next month is February, and the month following is March. And there will be an NCAA tournament this year. So to take an early look at some of the bracketology as we get ready for college basketball's postseason, on today's episode, Eli Becker, the founder of Heat Check CBB, makes his Locked On Big Ten debut. To take an early look at what the NCAA tournament might hold for college basketball, but specifically the Big Ten Conference. Eli, I appreciate you taking the time to make your debut on the Locked On Big Ten podcast.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
So Heat Check CBB is one of the best places on the entire interweb, in my opinion, that covers college basketball all across the landscape. As you've been enjoying this now early in the thick of college, I keep saying the early portion of the college basketball season because I feel like it just started, but now we're in the final week of January. We're really into the heart of the slate. What have been some of your impressions of the Big Ten Conference overall?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. It seems like the season just got underway, but we're in the thick of things now, and the Big Ten has just been such a fascinating league this season in that I think the first thing worth noting is the impact of no home crowds. I think that's been interesting in this year with the COVID-19 pandemic, teams dealing with that uncertainty. I've spoken with a lot of assistants and head coaches and just kind of the atmosphere of playing in these empty arenas. You're so used to going into these Big Ten campuses. You know, you take Mackey Arena at Purdue, that's a really challenging place to play. East Lansing, of course, being a really challenging place to play. There really isn't an easy place to play in the Big Ten, but it's created an interesting dynamic here where teams are actually able to go on the road and win games. And I think Rutgers is a perfect example of that, a team that is traditionally phenomenal at the rack. Last year, I believe, went undefeated at the rack, and this year they've already had, if I'm not mistaken, three slip-ups there. So the league is so deep. There are probably 10 teams that are still capable of reaching March Madness, which is just mind-boggling for a conference like this. And every time you go out, you have a chance to pick up a quality win. So it's been a really fun league, different contenders, and it's been a joy to watch.
I think your point about success on the road this year in the Big Ten, last year when you looked at the 2019-20 season, home teams were the huge favorites in ability to win most of those games. This year, six of the last contests, five of the last six in the Big Ten, the road team has been the victorious team after that contest was all said and done. That just goes to show that the home floors we've come to know in the Big Ten Conference, not as advantageous as they have been in years past. So as we dive into the bracketology, you mentioned 10 teams. ESPN's famed bracketologist Joe Lenardi, in his most recent bracketology, has 11 Big Ten teams in the NCAA tournament as it stands right now, both Maryland and Michigan State in the play-in games, but still 11 teams in the Big Ten Conference making their way to the big dance. Do you think this is realistic by the time all is said and done in about a month and a half?
I think it's fair right now, but I don't think that number will be 11 by the time we reach Selection Sunday. And I think there are a variety of reasons for this, and I don't think it's at any fault of the Big Ten. I think it's just the way that the season is set up this year. What's so unusual this season is something that I've been keeping track of quite a bit. We're so used to seeing teams that might traditionally be bubble teams. They already have a 9-3 record or 10-2 record entering league play. And so that's a 7-8 game cushion above 500 before you go into Big Ten play. So you might have a team, for instance, Minnesota right now, they might not finish above 500 in the Big Ten. And they might not have a great overall win-loss record, and so that could impact seeding. Now, I do think Minnesota's in good shape to reach the NCAA tournament with the wins that they have. But if you look at a team like Indiana, which is just a couple games over 500, or Maryland, which now has three road top 25 victories, that's usually enough to get it done. But they don't have the cushion of those early non-conference games to go by. So I would probably venture to guess this is an 8 or 9 bid league when all is said and done, because like I mentioned earlier, these teams are going to beat up on each other. You're going to have a really good team. I mean, for instance, Northwestern, that was just nationally ranked, it seems like just yesterday, and now they've dropped, what, like 7 in a row or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's so competitive, and even though, you know, we might take those wins, like a home win over Fairleigh Dickinson or like a home win against UMBC, we might kind of shrug that off in a normal year. But I can't imagine the selection committee can put in a 11-12 Big Ten team when there's a 3-loss team out of the Missouri Valley, or maybe a team with a 20-2 record out of the Mountain West. It would just be a tough precedent to set. And I just think that's probably what's going to dictate how many bids come out of this league.
There is one less automatic qualifier for this year's NCAA tournament field and one more at-large bid. Who knows if that factors in to the Big Ten Conference. There are a couple teams around the bubble right now, and we'll talk about them a little bit later on. But I want to focus on the teams at the top of the Big Ten Conference. Joe Lunardi has Michigan as a 1 seed. He has Iowa as a 2 seed. He has Wisconsin and Ohio State as 3 seeds, and Illinois right there as a 4 seed. Out of those crop of teams, is there a team out of the Big Ten Conference you think is best suited to make a run to the Elite Eight or the Final Four?
I think it would have to be Michigan for me. And this isn't a team that I expected to be the primary contender out of this conference heading into the year. I thought they were kind of a sleeper that had some potential to be good, but the way that they've played so far this season, minus the Minnesota loss, they've been next to perfect. And there are a variety of reasons for this. I think Hunter Dickinson is not only one of the best freshmen in the country, but he's also just been one of the better overall players in the whole nation. And Mike Smith, his transition from one of the weaker mid-major teams in the country to now playing really good basketball at the Big Ten level, that says a lot about what this staff has done. I think Michigan is best suited, especially when Isaiah Livers is on his game. If he can give you 15 a night, that's good. That's going to make Michigan as dangerous as they come. And I think with some of the other teams that you mentioned there, just some bouts with inconsistency, I think could present some matchup issues in the tournament. I was just speaking with a couple of other coaches about Iowa in particular, and it's been so well documented on their team how advanced and how successful they are offensively. But when shots aren't falling, they don't necessarily have the defense to back it up. And Illinois is extremely dangerous. They usually have the best two players on the floor with Iowa and Kofi. But this team can go on a 15-0 run, or they can go in a dry spell where they go maybe 6 minutes without scoring a basket. So I do think it's going to be so matchup driven, depending on how the Big Ten does the rest of the regular season. And if these teams find the right matchups, I think you could see, you know, maybe something like 6 teams in the Sweet 16 or something like that, and 1 or 2 in the Final Four. But it's going to take a lot of matchups for this to pan out the way I think they want it to. But a really dangerous conference at the top.
I have said all season long, I think Illinois is my team that is best suited to make a deep run in the tournament. But there's times this year that leave you just absolutely confounded, such as going down 15 at the half on the road at Northwestern and somehow coming back to win that game. That's kind of the streak Illinois has been playing on this year. We'll see how they finish off through the home stretch of the Big Ten play. A huge game for the Illini Friday night against Iowa. It's crazy to already be talking about bracketology for this college basketball season, as we are today with Eli Betker, the founder of HeatCheck CBB. We transitioned so seamlessly between Big Ten football into Big Ten basketball. It really didn't feel like we had the start of the college basketball season. And here we are in the last week of January talking about March Madness and the NCAA tournament. So how do we keep up for all of it? How do we stay energized for each and every day here on the Locked On Big Ten podcast, covering this glorious conference that is the Big Ten? How do we do it? We turn to Built Bar, because Built Bar provides incredible energy each and every day. And it does so in an incredible fashion, because it's the best tasting protein bar there has ever been, or the world possibly will ever know. Built Bar is even deliciouser than it was before. It has 18 amazing flavors. All of them are covered in 100% chocolate. They are soft and easy to chew. It is truly a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. I don't eat it for the nutrients. I eat it to start off my day with a delicious breakfast. I eat it to end my day with a delicious dessert, but it is so good for you as well. The health that comes with a Built Bar is perfect, because it's great for the health conscious person looking to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low in calorie, low in sugar, but high in protein and high in fiber. This morning, to start off my day, I had a mint brownie bar. It was incredible, covered in 100% chocolate, of course. 130 calories, 17 grams of protein. Let me reiterate that. 130 calories only in the entire delicious Built Bar and 17 grams of protein. A great way to start off my day. Give me some energy to get things going. Give me some energy to provide you the best Big Ten content I possibly can. That is what Built Bar means to me. That is why I turn to it each and every day throughout Big Ten football season, Big Ten basketball, into the offseason and beyond. Built Bar is always there by my side. And one of the best things about Built Bar is the deals you can get when you go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Each and every day here on the Locked On Big Ten podcast, we try to bring you the latest and the greatest from the Big Ten Conference in just about 30 minutes a day, each and every single weekday. That is especially the case on our new Locked On Today podcast. You can get more of the sports news you need as host Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts all across the Locked On Podcast Network. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcast. I hope and I think in about a month and a half from now, one of the biggest sports news that will be going on will be the NCAA tournament. We take an early look to that with Eli Becker of Heat Check CBB. Are there teams in the middle of the pack, a sleeper team, if you will, out of the Big Ten Conference that you think can make a deep run in the tournament?
Yeah, well, I think Rutgers is pretty fascinating. And the main reason for that is we haven't really seen what they've been like at full strength. They've been dealing with injuries throughout the year. We know that this is a team that traditionally is going to play really good defense. And I like some of the shot makers on this team. Jacob Young's done a really good job at the point guard position. They have, you know, Geo Baker, who's capable of hitting big shots. Ron Harper, the same thing with him. I think they went in this slump where they just kind of looked like a shadow of their previous self. And now maybe they're back on the rise, and it's a tough team to play. They play physical basketball. They can hit big shots. And those are two of the boxes that I like to check for some of these March teams. But that middle is pretty fascinating, because you have Purdue that could probably win a couple games if they get the right matchups. Minnesota has been really impressive what they've done. Marcus Carr has played as well as any guard in the country. So that middle, of course, we talk about the depth of the Big Ten, but that middle is capable of getting into the Sweet 16 or something like that as well.
Eli, I would love to get your thoughts as the founder of Heat Check CBB as we look at this early look ahead to bracketology and the potential of an NCAA tournament and what it means for Big Ten teams about Ohio State, because the Buckeyes have impressed me so far throughout league play. They have the second most quad one wins out of the entire Big Ten conference at 4-2 against quad one so far this season. What are your thoughts on the Buckeyes so far this season?
Yeah, they've been impressive, and I think EJ Liddell has been probably their biggest X factor so far, the way that he's been able to perform in their victories. He's proven to be a threat all across the floor, but I don't know how, you know, Chris Holtman does it. It seems like no matter who's on that roster, he's going to get them playing top 10, top 15 basketball year in and year out. And this team continues to kind of go under the radar, but the inclusion of some of the transfers there, I think, has been impressive. You have Justin Suing, who has done a really good job. Seth Towns has come over, and thankfully he's been, for the most part, healthy. I know that was a huge concern for him. Out with me being out on the West Coast, I would have liked to have seen Abel Porter from Utah State, see what he could have done with this team. Unfortunately, that didn't pan out the way that they had hoped, but it's a deep team, and they're going to bring you your A game. They are one of these squads that, even though they've lost, what, four games on the season, I feel like they still have played pretty consistent basketball. A lot of these Big Ten teams have had up and downs, but Ohio State's been pretty steady, so I think that should pay dividends as the season goes along.
Yeah, there's a lot of marks in the Big Ten Conference that you can get beat up each and every night, and the league kind of cannibalizes itself, as a lot of people need to say. So the records at times might not look as great, but if you can get some quality wins in the Big Ten Conference, I think that should speak to your resume. As we look at some of the teams on the bubble, the perimeter of the NCAA tournament, if you will, are there teams like Indiana or Michigan State or Maryland or Rutgers, as you mentioned right now, that you think are shoo-ins for the tournament, or are their futures still very much up in the air?
Yeah, well, I think the teams that you mentioned are all kind of fascinating in their own sense. Michigan State still doesn't have the resume to really come close to the tournament field. And I expect them to get there by season's end, just knowing Tom Izzo can coach, and some of these guys just haven't really played to their potential quite yet. Guard play will have to be ironed out, but Michigan State right now, they have probably just one or two wins against teams that are going to be in the tournament field. So that's concern right there. And the Duke win hasn't held up the way that they're expecting and things like that. So Michigan State's got an interesting resume and a sub 80 net. Last time I checked, that's not going to get it done. Indiana's fascinating as well. I think everyone kind of hopped on the bandwagon following the Iowa win, but as we've seen quite a bit under Archie Miller, you know, after a big win, the team has had their struggles, and that was the case against Rutgers. So I do think there's going to be enough quality wins to get around, and the case for a lot of these teams is all they have to do is probably go 500, maybe a game or two below 500, and that is enough to get the job done. But as I mentioned at the top, those win-loss records, if you're just a game above 500 overall, that's going to be tough to prove your case. So I think Michigan State and Indiana probably find a way to get it done. I think Rutgers turns the corner, but you know, a lot of those teams are probably going to be sweating on Selection Sunday.
It's crazy to me that Maryland, a three-win team in the Big Ten Conference, a 3-6 record in league play right now, Joe Lenardi has them as one of the play-in teams into the NCAA tournament field, and Michigan State, who seems very far off, but you give them the benefit of the doubt, also in one of those similar positions right on the bubble. But that's the Big Ten Conference this year, and we know, and you have faith in East Lansing, in Tom Izzo, because it goes January, February, Izzo, and March. And if they can figure some things out, they definitely have a talented roster to make a run here through the home stretch of Big Ten play. Now, Eli Becker, I have to ask you, with all of your knowledge of college basketball, and as we look at the Big Ten Conference, the league has gone 20 years without winning a national title. At what percentage would you say a Big Ten team has a chance to be cutting down the nets in early April?
It'd probably be something like 10%. I think that most likely Michigan is the team that is most capable of doing it. I just think that they're balanced on both ends, and they probably have the most matchup problems. But you talk about Gonzaga and Baylor, that probably accounts for at least 80% of the tournament likelihood. So I think most people are counting on either one of those teams to get the job done, but Michigan's right there and right in that top five. And the other teams in the league are just so dangerous too. Iowa, of course, with their defensive struggles, they can put 90 on just about anyone with their top ranked offense, and Illinois can create a lot of problems too. So I would, again, I'd pick Michigan to get it done if I had to choose someone out of the Big Ten, but I do think it's Gonzaga and Baylor versus the field right now.
Yeah, I think in any other year, you'd be feeling very good as a Big Ten fan, as a fan of the conference overall, but having Gonzaga there in the top spot, Baylor just right behind them, is pretty scary so far. I saw in the net rankings, by the way, that Baylor is number one in the net and Gonzaga is number two. What's that all about? That piqued my interest today.
Yeah, and it's been interesting, too, with Baylor now kind of trading off spots with Gonzaga, the number one spot in KenPom, too. Those teams have just been phenomenal, number one and number two throughout the nation, throughout the season. And it's been fun to see what they do and the competitiveness that they bring. But going back into the Big Ten, you know, a deep league that has a lot of quality teams. And I think the future, of course, is going to rest in some of these players and what they're capable of doing. But a really fun league overall.
These past two nights, on both Monday and Tuesday, I was very sad, very lonely. Why? Because we had no Big Ten basketball to watch, no Big Ten basketball games on both Monday and Tuesday night. But that changes this evening. A doubleheader on Wednesday in the Big Ten Conference when it comes to men's college basketball. And there is only one place that has you covered for all of that action, and one place that we trust here on the Locked On Podcast Network. That one place is betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Those two games tonight, Ohio State hosts Penn State in Columbus, and Wisconsin visits Maryland on the road. The Buckeyes, after a huge win over those Wisconsin Badgers this past Saturday, a 7.5-point home favorite over Penn State this evening. It is a game that is being made up from an earlier postponement earlier throughout this Big Ten basketball slate. The second game of the evening, Wisconsin visits Maryland in College Park. The Badgers, a 3.5-point road favorite, which makes a lot of sense because Maryland has three wins in Big Ten play. All three of those have come on the road, including against number 6-ranked Wisconsin at the time. Now Wisconsin finds themselves in the top 15. Both of those games, both of those lines, the spreads, the totals. By the way, the total for Wisconsin-Maryland, 130.5. That is pretty small. Pretty small. It's 146.5 for Ohio State and Penn State. All of those lines, all of that action coming from betonline.ag. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code Locked On, LOCKEDON, to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We continue to look ahead to the NCAA tournament. Some early bracketology with Eli Becker, the founder of Heat Check CBB, coming up. But there are two crucial Big Ten games tonight that will play a factor in what Big Ten teams make the NCAA tournament. And betting on these Big Ten basketball games tonight doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks and quick hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. Here we are, quick Wednesday winners with Ben. Ohio State, a 7.5-point home favorite over Penn State. Take the Buckeyes. Penn State has won two straight, but Ohio State has been one of the most impressive teams throughout this Big Ten basketball season. I like Ohio State winning by more than 7.5 tonight at home. Wisconsin, a 3.5-point road favorite on the road visiting Maryland tonight. I like the Badgers to bounce back. It's a crucial three-game stretch for Wisconsin. Locked On Badgers' Asher Lowe on Monday's edition of this podcast said how big this stretch is for Wisconsin to get back into the race for that top spot in the Big Ten. I think they do that. Maryland hasn't been great at home this year. They're only really good on the road in Big Ten play against great competition. Wisconsin is good competition, but I like the Badgers to cover even on the road tonight as 3.5-point favorites. So those quick Wednesday winners with me. Now we go back to our conversation with Eli Becker of Heat Check CBB to talk Big Ten overall as we look ahead to March. Just over a month left of Big Ten conference action, and a topic of conversation that has started to pick up a little steam here in the last couple of days has been the thought of conference tournaments at the end of the year heading into the NCAA tournament. Speaking with Eli Becker, the founder of Heat Check CBB, who covers college basketball with the best of them across the entire country, what is the sense that you get that we will have conference tournaments played here in just over a month?
As for the Big Ten, I would imagine it still goes on as scheduled, and this is a gut feeling. It's not backed by sources or anything like that, but it's such a huge media and TV commodity, sitting right up to when Selection Sunday rolls out. It's a huge TV spot for the Big Ten to have that tournament going on, and with the location change and things like that, it does sound like they're making amends here to try to get this show on the road, but and you look at the rest of the country, and honestly, I'd be surprised if all 31 conference tournaments are played. And of course, the major incentive will be to get these games played because of the revenue that the conference tournaments bring for the league and for TV contracts. But if you're a mid-major league and you have a runaway favorite in your conference, I'm thinking like Winthrop out of the Big South, for example, there really isn't an incentive to go and play that tournament if you can already guarantee your bid and just allow your regular season champion to get your bid. So that's going to be a fascinating scenario. And it's something that I've had, personal thoughts to myself about the last couple of weeks. And now I see a lot of other people are talking about it, but it's a multi-layered discussion. You have, TV and media deals. You have, of course, the risk of COVID-19. If you have a player that tests positive on your team, that's a really tight window to get your conference tournament done and then the March Madness underway. And then, of course, the competitive discussion here, because if you have your teams that have their bids locked up and you have a tournament with teams who would have been on the bubble, then that's bid collusion in a sense. So that's another layer to this. So I don't know how it's going to unfold. I'd be surprised if all 31 tournaments get underway, but if I were a fan of the Big Ten, I would imagine that they find a way to get that done and crown a Big Ten tournament champion.
Yeah, the Big Ten tournament seeming like it will move to Indianapolis following suit with the NCAA tournament, a term we now have to recognize in the college basketball year of 2020-2021, bid collusion. You heard it first from Eli Becker about what we can expect as we head into Selection Sunday. Now, I wouldn't be doing my job as the host of this Locked On Big Ten podcast if I didn't ask your thoughts on the Player of the Year race. Obviously, our hopes in this league ride with Luka Garza. He seems to be the favorite as we head into the rest of the season. Is there anybody that can catch Luka at the top of the Player of the Year rankings?
Yeah, right now I would say no. I think Luka Garza is still a heavy favorite, but it's you talk about Baylor and Gonzaga at the top. Both of those teams have a number of guys who could be in that race as well. Corey Kispert from Gonzaga, he would have a case in a normal year, but that team is so deep that I think it kind of minimizes his stats to a sense. The Jared Butler from Baylor, I think, is probably the biggest contender to guards right now. His ability to just take over games and still on an undefeated Big 12 team, that's got to be good for something. So I think it's Butler or Garza that will wind up winning this award. I would still imagine Garza, he was the runner-up last year and has only put up bigger numbers for a better team this year. So I think it's Garza's to lose.
There was a lot of fans in Iowa City and the Big Ten Conference in general that were not very happy with a certain Mr. Obi Toppin. But hey, that's how it goes. And Luka Garza, the reigning Big Ten Player of the Year, still has his sights set on a National Player of the Year award as well. It's been Eli Becker breaking it down for us as we take an early look at bracketology of the NCAA tournament. He's the founder of Heat Check CBB. If you're not following along with them, make sure to do that right now to get all the latest college basketball coverage as we head down the home stretch of this season. I've been saying the home stretch for the past 3 days, Eli, on this show, and I'm like, what, home stretch already? But that's where we find ourselves in the college basketball slate.
Yeah, it's crazy we're already at this point. It seems like the season just got underway, but it's nice to be talking about March, and you know, fingers crossed everything gets underway and everyone stays healthy and we get this show on the road. So it should be a really fun tournament.
Eli Becker, once again, the founder of Heat Check CBB, thank you very much for your time and providing the insight and analysis here on the Locked On Big Ten podcast.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
So many thanks to Eli Becker for making his debut on the Locked On Big Ten podcast. If you want to follow along with Heat Check CBB, give them a follow on Twitter at Heat Check CBB. That's very simple. Eli Becker himself, Becker is spelled B-O-E-T-T-G-E-R. It's Becker underscore Eli on Twitter at Becker underscore Eli. Again, his last name is spelled B-O-E-T-T-G-E-R underscore Eli, E-L-I. Great analysis, great insight. As we look ahead to March, Eli will be back on the podcast as we get closer to the big dance, Selection Sunday, all of that great stuff still here to come in the Big Ten Conference. Two great games tonight. Wisconsin on the road at Maryland is the nightcap, the game before to get things underway. Ohio State hosts Penn State. Two great games on Wednesday, one monumental game on Friday night in the Big Ten Conference. It's a game that fans have circled since the conference schedule was released. It's Illinois and Iowa on Friday night. Tomorrow on 2 for Thursday, a full-blown preview from both perspectives, from the Illini and the Iowa Hawkeyes, as they head into that Friday night matchup that could decide seeding in the Big Ten tournament, how the league standings finish out. It will be a huge one on Friday, and what has become a small rivalry between these two teams, Iowa and Illinois. That comes tomorrow on 2 for Thursday. So until we get to tomorrow, have a splendid Wednesday.